This morning we began to look at the home, or we continued our thoughts about the home, and this morning we gave some consideration to the role of the husband and the wife, of their relationship together. Tonight I want to continue with some of those thoughts and to turn our attention to our children. We look around this evening, and it was especially so this morning. We had several children in our midst. Children are our future. Children are God's gift to us. I want to share with you a couple stories that I saw this week. The first thing goes like this. A group of expectant fathers were in a waiting room while their wives were in the process of delivering babies. A nurse came in and announced to one man that his wife had just given birth to twins. "That's quite a coincidence," he said. "I play for the Minnesota Twins." A few minutes later, another nurse came in and announced to another man that he was the father of triplets. "That's amazing," he exclaimed. "I work for the 3M company." At that point, a third man slipped off of his chair, lay down on the floor, and somebody asked if he was feeling ill. He said, "No. I happen to work for the 7-Up company." I thought it was fun. Another thing that I had read this week, not a waste of time. A diplomat in the 19th century kept a journal. One day he entered into that journal, "Went fishing with my son today, a day wasted." His son also kept a diary, which is still in existence. On that same day, his son made this entry: "Went fishing with my father, the most wonderful day of my life." The father thought he was wasting his time. And we see the view of that son. That father had lost the idea of what was really important. Our children are a gift from God. The passage you see up on the screen from Psalm 127, the psalmist wrote about children: "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth." Notice verse 5. "Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." Happy is the man who has children, or who should be happy. Our lives are filled with all kinds of responsibilities. We have responsibilities at work, and we have responsibilities around our homes. We have responsibilities in the church. And all those things are important, at least most of them are. But it's important that we don't lose sight of what's really important. We live in a forest, if you will. We get in the midst of that forest and we begin to look at all the trees, how tall and how big they are. We become so focused on the trees that are right in front of us, we fail to see the forest that we're in. The little things in life are not our children, are not the spiritual matters of our home, or as we talked about this morning, our spouse, whether that be a wife or a husband. Those are the big things. But sometimes we flip those two things. It's important for us to take time in our lives to stop and to smell the roses and to look at our children, to look at our spouse. And to see them the way God sees them. God, through the psalmist, told us that they are a blessing. And they are a responsibility for us as parents. We have the responsibility to raise our children. As Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, in the training and admonition of the Lord. So for a few moments, let's think about our children. You know, this morning we looked at the husband's role, the wife's role. But our children have a role in our families too, an important role. And I want to spend a few moments looking at that. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll begin there. Ephesians chapter 6, and I want us to look at a few things that Paul had to say to he directs this at dad, but this is for dad and mom. And I want us to read these things and to see what God has laid by in store for our learning. Ephesians chapter 6, and we begin reading at verse 1. The text tells us, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." And Paul repeating Proverbs 22, verse 6. Here in this passage, Paul first directs his thoughts toward children. Children have a responsibility in our homes. And Paul says in verse 1 that children are expected to be obedient to their parents. And what's interesting is as he goes on, he says this commandment comes with a promise. When God makes a promise, we should listen. He goes on to tell us that that promise is that that child may live long on the earth. So we ask the question, is there some kind of secret antidote for death that God gives to those children who are obedient? Is there some kind of miraculous working going on for those children? Answer, of course, is no. There's nothing magical about what he's saying. What he's telling us as children, and what he's telling our children, is that if we will listen, if we will listen to our parents, we have trouble listening, don't we? We have trouble. You know, often we have our minds made up. We've made a decision about the way things should go and should play out. And it's difficult sometimes for us to take advice, especially from our parents, from those who are closest to us. Why? Those are the people who have our best intentions at heart. Sometimes I worry that we're more willing to listen to a stranger's advice than we are those that love us and care about us the most. What Paul is trying to remind his readers about is that your parents have been there and done that. And that as a child, I ought to be respectful of my parents. That I ought to listen to what they have to say and I ought to be obedient. He reminds us in this passage that as children, we should honor our father and our mother. As we get older and we grow up and we move out of our home, we tread our own life, our own path in life. We begin to make our own decisions. Sometimes we disagree with our parents. What Paul is trying to remind us of is that as children, we should not be disagreeable or disrespectful. So many teenagers struggle with this. And I guess it's this battle of over-independence. Our teenagers are trying to break free from their parents and create their own path in life. And so they struggle sometimes with this ideal of respect. And Paul is reminding those children, and even as we get older, he's reminding us, even as older people, that we should honor and respect our parents. Even for those of us who have lost our parents, who have moved on from this life, we should make it our goal to give our parents honor and respect by the way we live our lives, by the way we conduct ourselves. And so Paul's first direction is given to those who are children. And then I want you to notice verse 4 of this passage. Paul there states, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath." He directed that at fathers on purpose again. I don't know what it is about us men sometimes, especially with our sons. There sometimes becomes those moments we want to force confrontation or something. Or we like to needle or poke at our children. Paul is reminding dads and moms as well not to needle or to poke at our children, not to wrongly joke or cut up with them. Why? It's because as parents, as moms and dads, what should be of the most up importance to us is that our children are brought up in the training and admonition of the Lord. That we're trying to do what's best for them spiritually speaking. You think about your own childhood and the expectations and the things that occurred in your own home. Do you bring those to your family that you're currently in? Are you bringing your child up as the Lord directed? Two things I want us to look at here. First, training. What about training in your home? What kind of training goes on? Well, we're going to first look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. We brought this passage up before. PowerPoint will probably come and go, but I'll try to make clear the passages I get to. But Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. Moses wrote, "You shall teach them," that's the words of God, that's the commandments of God. "You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." And that's a commandment that Moses gave to the children of Israel. And that's something that God had commanded them to do. But there's a principle in that that I think is very applicable to our families today. What was it that Moses and God was asking of the children of Israel? Asking of the moms and the dads specifically. In this passage, he says that you shall teach your children diligently. The idea being diligently, that there's effort that's put forward, that there is intention placed upon biblical teaching, that as fathers and as mothers, that we are directive in our teaching. I'm afraid too often we have parents who bring their children to Bible class to worship, to youth activities. And there's an expectation that that's where the training for their children are to take place. For Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7 says something very different. Yes, those things are good. Those things are useful. But the training, the spiritual training for our children should take place in our homes. With mom, with dad. They should be the ones talking about Scripture. They're the ones who should be studying with their children. It brings up an interesting question for us. How often is Scripture brought up in your household? How often do we sit down with our children, our grandchildren, and pray with them? Teach them how to pray. You ever thought about the kind of teaching that goes into praying? Have you ever tried to teach your child how to pray? Or do we just expect them to learn how at worship, in Bible class? Our children need to see us praying. They need to hear us reading the Bible. Do we take time to teach our children how to study the Bible? Or we just think they'll pick it up? Now, if I were to turn that question around and ask it from this perspective, when's the last time that you spent some time studying their schoolwork with them? If that wasn't too long ago for those who have younger children. Why aren't we willing sometimes to put more attention into the spiritual matters of life? The slides are off here a little bit, but Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 14. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, "Now for the third time I am ready to come to you. I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours, but you. For the children ought not lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children." Now, you can make the discussion here about finances. I'm not here to talk about finances. But let's look at this from a spiritual learning and growth standpoint. Do our children exceed us in their spiritual maturity? Have they outgrown us in our spiritual maturity? As parents, we should be striving to leave a spiritual example for our children, one in which they can follow. We should be leading them, and them not leading us. I remember working many years in youth ministry, the number of parents who were drugged to church by their children. It's a sad condition. Our children should not be dragging us. We should be leading them. The second thought that I want to share with you is this idea of discipline. Maybe a little bit harder of an issue, but there are a couple of things I want to share with you about discipline. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24. We've heard this often, but I want to repeat it. Proverbs 13 verse 24, he wrote, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. A couple of things in that proverb that we ought to think about. The first is the idea of love and hate. The world gives us the idea that if we love our children, we give them whatever they want. That we tell them that anything they want to do, they can accomplish in life. That we give them all the things they ask for. I would say this proverb goes in the face of that. The proverb writer is trying to get us to understand that discipline in our homes, structure in our homes is important. That our children need us to be parents who discipline and structure, to give our children structure to grow in, to advance. And when our children need it, we should give that discipline promptly. Notice he uses the word promptly there. It's an immediate need for that. Why do our children today have such a difficulty with respecting authority? Is that in a great way due to the fact that we didn't teach them to respect authority when they were in our homes? Many in our culture live that way, and then they scratch their heads later in life and wonder, what happened to my child? Our children need discipline in their lives. They need structure. Proverbs 19 and verse 18. Proverbs 19 and verse 18, chasten your son while there is hope. Do not set your heart on his destruction. Chasten your son while there is hope. What do you think he means by that? Sometimes we lose our children, don't we? We look back and we try to wonder why, what happened, what went wrong. Sometimes we think, well, I don't want to be too harsh. I don't want to be too mean to my child. He's reminding us that there's an age that which when our child reaches, it's going to be difficult to pull them back. To pull them back to the truth. To pull them back to being moral and being respectful. And as our children grow older, the longer we put off that discipline and structure that they desperately need, the harder it's going to be. And then we will find ourselves, if we put it off long enough, on a day when we can no longer have any power over that. Do not set your heart on his destruction. You know, I remember when I was younger, and I hated it when I was a kid, when I would be disciplined for some reason. My mom or my dad would say, well, this hurts me a lot more than it hurts you. I remember like, let me whip you, I'll show you. But being a parent and being on the other side, you learn that that's really true. There's no faithful, God-fearing parent who enjoys disciplining their child. Yet, it is our responsibility. And it should be our goal to provide our children with the discipline, our children with the discipline they need to grow. And then Proverbs 22, verse 15, he writes again, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Solomon maybe you have young children, you notice that pretty early on with children, foolishness in the heart of a child. But God expects us to drive that from them. Proverbs 23, verse 13, again, do not withhold correction from a child. For if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Now, is the proverb writer here endorsing abuse? Certainly not. That's not what he's talking about. I think he's talking about what we just mentioned about our parents, about it hurting them more than it hurts us. It does hurt. And so sometimes it's just easier to ignore our child's bad behavior rather than to discipline them, to give them the structure and attention they need. Our ultimate goal should be that we don't want to lose our children. And though discipline in the moment seems hurtful, maybe even painful for us or for the child, it's the eternal goal that we're working towards. We don't want to get so far into the forest that we can't see the forest for the trees. Our children desperately need our time, our love, our spiritual example, and guidance in life. And they need us to provide for them structure in their lives. And it's hard sometimes. We live in a chaotic world. And it's so easy to get caught up in amongst of all the activities going on, that we lose ourselves, that we lose our children. But our children need us. They need us to be there for them, to be present for them. If we fail to truly raise our children the way God desires them to be raised, I guarantee you the world will step in and raise our children for us. And they will raise them in a way that we don't want them to be raised. The world would love to teach your child about alternative lifestyles. They would love to teach your child the new definition of what they call marriage. They would love to teach your children that you can't judge others, that you just should let anybody do whatever they want to do. The world would love to teach our children that there is no God. They would love to teach our children that we came into existence by evolution. And so many other things. Are we going to leave that to the world? A couple questions that I want us to think about and to leave you with today. How important is spending time with your children to you? How much time do you spend with your child or children? How much time do you give to them? You know, me and Lisa were talking about this yesterday. You can tell when we haven't spent enough time with Barrett because he'll start to act out and try to draw that attention on himself. It's because our children desperately need us to be there with them. Our children need us to be in the floor with them. Our children need us to be on the playground with them. Our children need us to open the Bible with them. Our children need to bend their knees with ours, to offer prayer. Our children need us to show them how to serve other people, how to reach out a benevolent, giving hand to someone who desperately needs it. we don't do it, who's going to? You think about the impact that a father can have on his family. Think about the impact fathers, or the lack of fathers, have had on our culture. We have a segment of people who are ran by a one-parent home, going to our inner cities. Look at the devastation that's been done to the family. And it's because so many fathers have left their responsibility. Our children need our fathers. They need their time, their effort. What about mom? What about the impact a faithful mom can have on our children? A faithful father can have on his children. Think about the impact that an unfaithful, unavailable mother can have on her children. Think about the destruction that it causes our children. Our children need our moms. They need our moms to be present, not just in the room. They need our moms involved, engaged. Do we ever spend time with our children, but as we do so, we're on our phone or on the computer or we're doing something else? That's not being present for our children. Those things aren't wrong. I'm not saying you can't have a phone, you can't have Facebook, you can't do those things. You can't have a hobby and all. But do we put those things down to spend that time with our children? Our children need our moms. They need our mom's spiritual example. They need that gentle and quiet spirit that Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 3. What are the results on children who have a father or mother that are wholly involved in leading the family? I don't want to leave it on a negative. I want to leave it on a positive. Look at the families that you know, that you look at and you look up to. What do they have in common? Those truly faithful Christian families. What do they have that the rest of the world doesn't have? They have a mom and dad who are engaged. Engaged in the spiritual well-being of their children. Who are engaged with their children in time and effort and energy. They have parents who know how to discipline and structure the home, so that their children can flourish and grow. Our children need us. The church needs us to raise our families, to give our children the opportunity to grow spiritually. A couple weeks ago, I shared with you the number that it takes four parents to raise one faithful child. We're losing this battle, but it doesn't have to stay that way. It doesn't have to continue in the same direction. We can change that as parents, as grandparents, as aunts and uncles, as friends. We can make a difference, but it's going to take all of us committing to give our time and energy and effort to families who desperately need it. Do you this day need to make a commitment to be a better parent or child? Do you need to make a change in your life? The greatest thing you can do as a parent or as a child for your family is becoming a child of God. If you're not a child of God, you have a wonderful opportunity to come forward, to confess Jesus as Lord, to repent of your sins, to make that decision, to turn away from your sinful behaviors and to be immersed into Christ so that you can be raised as He is. you're a parent or a child who is unfaithful, who's fallen away, there's nothing you could do better for your family today. There's not a stronger impact you would make than to come home. To come home.